Today's daf is Sota Lamed Chet. We're going to start at the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Bet. Our refuah shlem up for today. Dvar Badina, Oz Avram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmit Ben Ima, Orli Panina, Bat Rachel Frida, Chayamaka, Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Miriam, Chayarut. Today we're going to learn all about Berkat Kohanim, all sorts of details about it, right? For those, a family of Kohanim here, myself included, it's always interesting to see.
David made the boys learn it all before he let them start.
Right.
Not only from here, but everywhere he could find it.
Right, yeah. These are not the only sources. Let's make that clear. But these are a whole bunch of sources about it. If you recall, in the first Mishnah we saw here in the Perek was all about which things are said B'Lashon HaKodesh and which things could be said in any language. And one of the things was Berkat Kohanim, so now we're going to get into that. Berkat Kohanim Ketzad. B'Medina Omer Ota Shalosh Brachot. Ubamikdash bracha achat. Okay, what is this? There's a difference between the Medina and the Mikdash. Okay, the Medina is outside of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Mikdash is inside the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying, what? The Mikdash is inside the Beit HaMikdash, the Medina is outside. So what we're saying here is that there's a difference between the Berkat Kohanim that took place inside the Beit HaMikdash and the Berkat Kohanim that took place outside. So what's the difference? Two differences we're going to talk about, right? There's a few differences, more than two. The first one is that in the Medina, we say it Shalosh Brachot. So if you just look for a second in the sheets I printed, in Bamidbar Perek Vav, the second set of Psukim, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. By the way, this comes right after Nazir. So, you know, we were learning Sota comes in the Torah, then Nazir, and this comes right after Nazir. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Daber al Aaron ve'el banav lemor. Speak to Aaron and his sons to say, Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, amur lahem. Okay, we're going to darsh in this pasuk. That's why I wanted you to see it. We're going to darsh in all sorts of things. Ko tivarchu, this is the way. Okay, we're obviously going to darsh in this word ko, like this, right? It's not a typical usage. Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, this is how you should bless the people. I mean, here it obviously means this is how, and now he's going to tell them how. That's the pshat. But it's a good word to darsh in, right? Ko means exactly like this. We're going to see exactly how we darsh in it in a few different ways. And then, amor lahem, right? Which seems weird. If you're going to be mevarech, so why also add the words amor? And why add lahem to them? Obviously, you're talking to them. You just said, we're going to bless B'nai Yisrael. Then we have the three psukim. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'semecha shalom. Psukim, they're very familiar. If you notice, there's a samach at the end of each of these psukim. As if each is a whole independent unit. And that leads us back to the Mishnah. B'medina omer ota shalosh brachot. When they do Berkat Kohanim, they say shalosh brachot, meaning you answer amen at the end of each one, which is exactly what we do in shul, right? When they say it, we always answer amen at the end of each pasuk. Okay? Just while we're in the pasukim, we'll go there, and then we'll go back to the Mishnah in a second. V'samu, the last pasuk is, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, and you should put my name on b'nei Yisrael. That's going to lead us to the next thing in the Mishnah. Va'ani avarchem. Then it sounds like God will bless them. Okay, what does that mean? In other words, they get another blessing from God, or who is God blessing, by the way? Who's the subject? Ani avarchem. What does that mean? It could be the Kohanim, right? If you bless the people, then I'll bless you. Or if you bless the people, I'll make sure to fulfill the blessing. Right. Okay, so there's two different ways of reading that. We're going to see this all inside today. So the first thing, like we said, the Medina, they would say Shalosh Brachot. But B'Mikdash, they would say Bracha Achat. This was all viewed in the Mikdash as one Bracha, and they would only answer Amen at the very end. B'Mikdash, Omer et Hashem. Right, so first of all, Rashi points out here, B'Mikdash Bracha Achat, he says, L'fi she'ein onim b'mein b'Mikdash, ve'ein sarich an shum hefsek. In other words, there's this issue about answering Amen in the Mikdash. Ein sarich an shum hefsek. Right, I guess they don't want to make a hefsek in between. We're going to get to this in the Gemara later. Okay. B'Mikdash Omer et Hashem kichtavo. What does that mean? Rashi says b'yud hei, right? In other words, yud kei vav kei, they would say the Shema Miforash. That comes from v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, right? My name, my actual name. But b'medina, they wouldn't do that in the Medina. In the Medina, they would do it b'kinuyo. If you look at Rashi, it says b'alif dalif, meaning Shem Hashem, right? Adonai. So now, that's another difference. Okay, that was difference number two. B'medina, kohanim nos'im et yideihem k'neged kitfehem. Okay, they would put their hands out at the shoulder height. But we're going to see Bamidina, Bamikdash, Al Gabe Rashehen. In the Mikdash, their hands were straight up, okay, high above their heads. Except one exception, according to Tanakama here. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol. Why not the Kohen Gadol? Sheino magbia et yadav lemala mina tzitz. Do you remember the tzitz? The Kohen Gadol had a tzitz. It was a head plate that he would wear. We saw this back in, definitely in Yomo, we saw it in other places. The tzitz had these special powers. It would be, it would appease God from certain aveirot that people did. And it says on it, kadosh la'ashem. And because it said, and it said the Shema Mefarash on it. And because it said the Shema Mefarash, Shem Hashem, it would be disrespectful if he lifted his hands above the tzitz. Almost like, my hands are above God. So therefore, all the Kohanim in the Mikdash would lift their hands above their heads, but the Kohen Gadol would not because of the tzitz that was on his head. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Kohen Gadol Magbiya Yadav Lemala Min HaTzitz, Shneemar, how do we know? Vayisa Aharon Et Yadav Al Ha'am V'Yivarchen. Aharon raised his hands up to the nation and he blessed them. The assumption here is that raising your arms means raising them above his head. So we see, now where is this? Okay, so here I brought you the psukim. It's in Vayikra Perek Tet. Look at the first section on your sheet. When is this? Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, Kara Moshe L'Aron U'Lebanav L'Zinei Yisrael. This is the Miluim, right? After the 7 days when the Chanukah HaMikdah, the HaMishkan, what's the word, Chanukah? Consecration. The dedication of the Mishkan on the seventh day, on the eighth day, right, Parshat Shmini, on the eighth day, Aharon did all these things. And then further on in that parak, I just skipped all the rest of the psukim in the middle. After Aharon does the korbanot, it says, Vayisa Aharon et yadav el ha'am vayivarchem. And then we're going to see this later in a minute. That's why I'm going to read the whole pasuk here. Vayered me'asot ha'chatat va'olav ha'shlamim. And then he went down, after he did the bracha, he went down from doing all the sacrifices that he brought. Okay, and then the most bright, very important pasuk comes after that. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron al Olam Moed, vayitzu v'yirchu et ha'am, vayered kvod Hashem al kol ha'am. Right, and then the presence of God appears. And then v'tetze eish, milifnei Hashem, and the fire comes down, it eats up. Okay, and everyone sees and they bow down. Okay, that part's not so important for our purposes, but just to give you the context. So now, what do we see? He lifted up his hands. The assumption is lifting up your hands means over your head, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda thinks if Aaron did it, well, then anyone else could do it. Yeah.
The assumption is wrong because when you raise your hands towards the people, it doesn't mean up, it means out.
Right.
Even though it said that in the Mikdash they raised their hands up, so this is zelichud v'zelichud.
Right. So you could say vayisaron et yadav el ha'am means towards the people, and it wasn't above his head. It's true. You could explain it in different ways. The whole question is, what does it mean vayisa et yadav? In other words, does it mean he lifted them up high, or did it mean he lifted them up shoulder height? So it's unclear. But Rabbi Yehuda seems to be convinced that Aharon did it above his head, and therefore he thinks it's okay. But you're right, it's totally not clear, and that's why, again, whenever things aren't clear, there's different opinions about it. Okay, the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Ko Tivarchu. So we're going to have a lot of drashot today on the Pesukim. Ko Tivarchu, remember, that's how I started. I said there's something, right, this Ko Tivarchu, B'lashon HaKodesh, Ataomer. B'lashon HaKodesh, period. So Ko Tivarchu means you have to do it like this, meaning in Hebrew. So then the brighter questions, like we always have the structure. Ata omer b'lashon ha'kodesh. Do you really think it means b'lashon ha'kodesh? Maybe it means also b'chol lashon. This is, I'll just remind you of this structure. This structure works like this. It tells you the halacha, and then it raises a question, but it's a rhetorical question because it knows the answer. But it's saying, in case you thought that it was some other option, we're going to say that that option doesn't exist. So that's what they're saying. They said it means it's b'lashon ha'kodesh, but now they're going to say, you think it's b'lashon ha'kodesh, maybe it's also in ela b'chol lashon, maybe it could be in any language. So now they say, how do we know? Ne'amar kan, we're going to make a gzerah shava, compare to psukim. Ne'amar kan ko tivarchu. Here it says ko tivarchu, but ne'amar lahalan, our psukim that we saw before, ele ya'amdu l'varecha ta'am, where's that? On Har Grizim and Har Eval. And there, they're doing a bracha to the am. And here, it's a bracha to the am. Ma lahalam b'lashon ha'kodesh, av kam b'lashon ha'kodesh. So if we're assuming, which we already proved, that the brachot and the klalot on Har Grizim and Har Eval were b'lashon ha'kodesh, then this is also b'lashon ha'kodesh. And we learn it from the words tivarchu. Okay?
We had proofs of all that kacha, ko, a few pages ago, remember that?
For the Birkat Kohanim, did we see it?
No, for general, that it said there was a general rule. That
yes, when it says Va'anu Va'amru, it means, right. Right. So there were different, it depended on each one and what they proved. And some people said, oh no, we don't need that as a proof, we can use this as a proof. Here we're going to see it also. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no tzarich. Okay, so now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't need that gzeras shava between this and har grizim. Harehu Omer, ko, exactly what Shoshana you're saying. It says ko. Ko means ad shemru b'lashon hazeh. Okay, in other words, it has to be, just like we saw, exactly, the ko was used before like this, that it has to be exactly this way. Okay, so two different opinions about that. Tanya Idach, another braita. While we're talking about these words, ko tevarchu, another drasha on it. Ko tevarchu ba'amida. Okay? Ko tevarchu means you have to stand up when you do it. So again, they say, atah omer ba'amida, o eino ela, afilu b'yeshiva. Right? How do you know it has to be, they have to be standing up? Maybe they could be sitting. Ne'amar kan ko tevarchu, v'ne'amar lahalan, ele ya'amdu levarech. Again, they're making the comparison, Gzeras Shava, between the Ko Tevarchu here and the Ko Tevarchu of Har Grizim and Har Eival. And what does it say there? Ele Ya'amdu. Right? They're going to stand here and they're going to stand there. Therefore, it must have been they were standing. Ma Lahalam Ba'amida, just like there they were standing. Af Kam Ba'amida. Rabbi Natan Omer, we're going to see the same structures over and over again today. Rabbi Natan Omer, Eino Tzarich, you don't need that pasuk. You don't need to learn it. What's the whole idea of saying you don't need that pasuk? We don't need to learn it from something totally unconnected. Let's learn it from itself, right? So last time we said let's learn it from itself. It said in the pasuk there, ko. Ko means in Hebrew, like this. So now he's going to say we can learn Amidah from the Kohanim themselves, okay? Harehu Omer, Lisharto Ulevarech Bishmo. Okay, where is that pasuk? Okay, that's a pasuk from Dvarim Perek Yud. Okay, look on the sheet. It's the next group of the third set of pesukim. Ba'etahi in Dvarim Perek Yud pasuk Ched. It says Ba'etahi yivdil Hashem et Shevet Levi laseit et Aron Brit Hashem. Okay, Hashem separated out Shevet Levi. Okay, this is after a description that Moshe is telling them what happened at, with the Luchot. Okay, and he had to write a second set of luchot after Chet Ha'egel. And then he says, and at that time, remember, because the Bechorim were supposed to be the ones being the Mishartim of Hashem, and they lost it because of Chet Ha'egel. So at that moment, Hashem separated out Shevet Levi, laseit et Aron Brit Hashem, okay, to carry the Aron, la'amod lifnei Hashem, lisharto ulevarech bishmo ad hayom hazeh. Okay, so now what's their job? Lisharto ulevarech bishmo. So now, that doesn't help us yet about Amidah, right? It doesn't say anything about standing. So first he says, number one, it says by the Levi'im themselves, which obviously the Kohanim come from the Levi'im, that the job of the Levi'im is lisharto, to serve God, ulevarech b'shmo. Now, levarech b'shmo clearly references the bracha, the berkat Kohanim. Ma mishar, now, so what's the connection? Well, if lisharto and levarech b'shmo come next to each other, we're going to learn from one to the other. Ma mishareth ba'amidah, when you do the service of God, obviously you're doing it ba'amidah. You don't sit down when you're sacrificing the korbanot and stuff. You do the work ba'amidah, although we're going to see how we know you do it ba'amidah. We don't know yet. But the assumption is, you're misharek ba'amidah, af mevarech ba'amidah. You also do the brachot ba'amidah. So now they say, u'misharek u'feminalam. Where do we learn about the misharek atzmo, that he does it standing? Dichtiv, okay, this pasuk is in Dvarim Yudchet, okay, it's the next section of Pesukim. If you look at the very last pasuk there, okay, again, I tried to bring the context of the pasukim. So here in Dvarim Perek Yudchet, it's talking about the Kohanim and the Levim have no nachala. They don't get to have lands with everybody else. And because of that, you have to give them, you know, the Kohanim get certain parts of the korbanot, and they get the Levim get the maser, etc. Okay, and now pasuk hey, ki bo b'char Hashem elokecha mikol shvatecha la'amod l'sharet b'shem Hashem. Hu banav kol yamav. Okay, soon we're going to get to the hu banav kol yamav. But at this point, we're on the la'amod l'sharet. So what did we do now? La'amod l'sharet proves that l'sharet is ba'amidah. L'sharet, l'sharto u levarech b'shmo proves that just like l'sharet is ba'amidah, also levarech b'shmo. And why is that a better proof? Because all of it is in the context of the Kohanim, as opposed to trying to prove it from Har Grizim and Har Eival, which had nothing to do with our topic. Okay, so again, there's two opinions. Either we learn it from there, or we learn it from here. Tanya Idach, another braita. Ko tevarchu b'nisiut kapayim, meaning you have to, right, this is the way you do it, by lifting up your arms. Now notice, in the Psukim, Bamidbar Perek Vav, when it talks about Berkat Kohanim, it doesn't mention raising your arms. The only time it mentioned raising your arms was Aharon, when Aharon did it on the eighth day of the Miluim. Okay? So, what do they say? Kotev Rav Chuba Nisiu Kapayim. So now they say, Atam Rav Nisiu Kapayim, O Eno Ela Shalom Nisiu Kapayim. Maybe you don't need to lift up your hands. So what do they say? Ne'emar kan kotev arhu. How do they translate now kotev arhu? Right, kotev arhu. This is how you should bless them the way Aaron did it. Right, it's a reference. Ne'emar lahalan b'yisa Avraham et yadav la'am b'yivarchem. Ma lahalam b'nisiyut kapayim. Just like Aaron did it b'nisiyut kapayim by raising up his hands. Af kan b'nisiyut kapayim. Now, we're going to have a question on this. Kasha le'le Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan had a question on this. If we're going to learn it and say you're supposed to do it just like Aaron did it, then what might you jump to what conclusion? Imalahalan kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodat zibur. Okay, with Aaron, he was the kohen gadol. It was on Rosh Chodesh, and it was avodat zibur. It was a public, right? This is a very public event. So therefore, what might you say? That the Kohanim, when they're supposed to bless the people, when is it? Afkan. It has to be Kohen Gadol, Rosh Chodesh, Bavodat Zibur. In other words, if you're going to say like this, just like Aaron, don't learn just one thing, they lift up his hands, learn also that he did it in particular manner and by a particular person and on a particular date. So, if that's the, you know, see, he doesn't like his drasha, that we're going to learn this from Aaron. So therefore, Rabbi Natan Omer, some people say that Rabbi Natan here is really Rabbi Yonatan, the one who asked the question, right? Often, you know, letters drop and things like that, especially letters like Yud and Vav, that Rabbi Natan could be Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan asked the question, and Rabbi Yonatan said himself, Eino tzarich, we don't learn it from there, Harehu Omer, Hu Ubanav Kol HaYamim. Okay, where was that pasuk? That was in Dvarim Yud Chet. Okay, this is why it was important to me to put all these on the sheet so you can follow where we're at. So that was the psukim where it said the Shevet Levi is different, they don't get Nachala, and you have to give them the first of everything. And the reason given is because God chose them to serve before him. And now it says, Hu Ubanav Kol HaYamim. And they take this pasuk and they say that means that just like Aharon did it, now again, this obviously wasn't written in about the Yomei HaMiluim, but they're stretching it, right? They're saying, Hu Ubanav Kol HaYamim means that his children are supposed to do it the way he did it. And how did he bless the people? Right? Even though, notice, it doesn't say anything about blessing in this pasuk. It doesn't say levarech. It just says lamod l'sharet. So it's very much taking it out of context. But he says it must be from there. That hu banav kol hayamim, that they're supposed to continue the same way he did it. Okay? Ma hu benis, makish banav lo, his sons get compared to him. Ma hu benisiyut kapayim, af banav benisiyut kapayim. Uchtiv kol hayamim. Okay? So therefore it means for all generations. Not just his sons then, but all down the generations. V'itkash, and now the Gemara has to point this, right, the Bright has to point this out, V'itkash bracha l'sherut. And that pasuk was only talking about sherut, but since l'sharet and l'sharto l'varech b'shmo come up in Perikyut together, right, it's very Perikyut, so we're going to say whatever's true about l'sharet, that his son's giving l'sharet just like he did, kol hayamim, therefore the bracha is also going to be like, you know, hu banav kol hayamim. So even though it doesn't say levarech here, we're going to assume it includes levarech. Okay, Tanya Idach, another brayta. Ko tivarchu b'nei Yisrael b'shem ha-miforash. You're supposed to use yud kei vav kei. Ata omer b'shem ha-miforash o einu ela b'kinoy. How do you know it has to be b'shem ha-miforash and not with the kinoy of Hashem, like saying shem, Hashem? Talmud lamar v'samu et shmi. Shmi ha-miyuchad li. Okay, it says v'samu et shmi. Shmi means put my name, right? That's the last pasuk there in pasuk of Zion of Bamidbar, where it talks about the Bamidbar Perek Vav, where it talks about the Berkat Kohanim. It says v'samu et shmi, put my name. My name means the Shema Mefarash. Okay, yachol af b'gvulin kein. So if that's the case, then it should be even outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? They're using the word gvulin here to match the Medina, right? Medina was the word in our Mishnah. Gvulin is the word the Gemara uses to say outside the Beit Hamikdash. So then you should also use the Shema Mefarash. So now, what are they going to say? Ne'amar kan v'samu et shmi, that's our pasuk, v'ne'amar lahalan, okay, this is in Dvarim Perek Yubei Pasuk Hei, it's the last section on the page, lasum et shmo sham. Okay, what's that? Read the pasuk for a minute. Ki ima la'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem, right, only in the place that God chooses, Lasum et shmo sham, to put his name there. L'shichno tidrashu bat hashama, right? That's where you should go to do your sacrifices, etc., right? Just go there. So here you see, lasum et shmi, et shmo, right? Comes up where? B'makom asher yivchar bo, rak b'beit ha-bechira. So they say here, lasum et shmo sham, ma lahalam b'beit ha-bechira, right? Just like there, it's only in the Beit HaMikdash, av kam b'beit ha-bechira. Okay? Therefore, also here, the Shema B'Farash is only in the Beit HaBechira. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Eino Tzarich. Okay, surprise, surprise. Same structure, right? No, you don't need to learn it from there. You can learn it from somewhere else. Harehu Omer, B'chol Makom Asher Azkir Et Shmi, Avo Elecha Uberach Ticha. Okay, this is from Shmot Perkath. And it says, any place where I mention my name, I will come. Okay, I will come. I will be there. So now it says, "B'chol makom sakadatach." You think this means every place in the world God's going to have His presence appear? Seems like, you know, odd that God would make His presence appear everywhere. Ela mikra ze misorasu. Okay, what's a mikra misoras? Do you remember this? Mikra misoras Hashanah. I remember learning this with you in Rav Klitzner's class many years ago. Mikra misoras means that when you take the pasuk and you switch the order, you say the first half should appear after the second half. Okay, you swap locations. So it should read like this. B'kol makom asher avo elecha uberechticha, sham azkir et shmi. Okay, instead of b'kol makom asher azkir et shmi avo elecha, any place where I mention my name, there I will be. It should read like this. Any place where I come to bless you, that's where my name will be mentioned, okay? Which means exactly our place, right? Behechan abo elecha uberachticha. Where are you going to be blessed by God? Bebeit ha-bechira. And therefore, shamas kirat shmi. There, and there it means not I will mention my name, but I will let my name be mentioned, right? In other words, I will let you mention my name. So you can only say the Shem Mefarash in the Beit HaMikdash. Tanya Idach, another brighter. Ko tibrachu b'nei Israel. Eli ela b'nei Israel. Sounds like, okay, here's your typical, right? Hebrew language is in the masculine form, right? And not only is it the masculine, but B'nai Israel, what does B'nai Israel mean? So it means men, number one, okay? It means Jews, born Jews, the sons of Yaakov, not anyone who is a ger or an Eved Meshuchrar. So they say, Ein li ela from this B'nai Israel. Geirim nashim v'avadim meshuchrarim minayin. And how do we know that this bracha is also for them? Talmud Lamar, Emor Lahem, Likulhu. Okay, now we're darshaning that Emor Lahem. Why does it have to say tell them? Oh, them includes anyone who's not part of B'nai Israel. Okay, it's a very strange, difficult drasha to say that women are not part of B'nai Israel, right? We generally say the Hebrew uses the masculine includes the feminine, right? It includes all the women. Maybe to say Gerim and Avadim would be one thing. They weren't born Jews. B'nai Israel seems to say born Jews. But it's very difficult to say Nashim, and even to say Girim, we generally consider them part of the Klal. Now here they're not being excluded, it's just that they need an extra something to include them.
It begs the question in other places, if
yes,
it doesn't have that extra.
Exactly, how could it, right, does it exclude? Exactly. Okay. We've seen before that sometimes they say it excludes, sometimes they say it includes, it depends on the context. Yes.
It doesn't really make sense grammatically, because it's B'nai Israel, Lahem.
Right, Lahem should apply to B'nai Israel. Well, this is the word of Drasha. The world of Drasha says, Emor Lahem is unnecessary. Obviously, you're going to say to them, if you're going to bless them with these words, then obviously you're speaking to them. So there's no reason to say Lahem, so Lahem must be adding something additional. That's right. It doesn't obviously work grammatically at all, for sure, because it's not grammar here that we're dealing with. There could be other Drasha. Yes, there are other things that we can learn from here, for sure. Okay, Tanya Idach. Ko tivarchu, panim kineged panim. Okay, here we see here we're going to start to get to some important halachot that we know. Panim mul panim, what is the kineged panim? By the way, this is interesting in terms of things. It's actually, we'll talk about things that happen nowadays that maybe don't match this 100%. What does panim kineged panim mean? It means that the kohanim have to face the people, and the people have to face the kohanim. Now, why is this strange? Because many people turn away from the Kohanim, right? They even turn their backs to the Kohanim. According to this, you're not supposed to turn your backs. So, number one, you should just note that this is, it's supposed to be panim mul panim, right? People have this whole thing, if you look at the Kohanim, when there's Berkat Kohanim, right? Most of that issue is you're supposed to just focus on the words and be focused and not distracted by anything. But you're not supposed to turn away from them. Here it says, panim keneged panim, you're supposed to actually be facing each other in both directions. So now, atal mer panim keneged panim, oena ela panim keneged oref. Maybe it means face against the back, meaning maybe the kohanim should be facing away, or maybe the people should be facing away. Tamud lamar, emor lahem. Ke'adam, here's a different drashan, emor lahem. Okay, Shari, if you wanted to see, right? Emor lahem could mean something else. It's ka'adam ha'omer lechavero. You should do it in a manner of speaking. When you speak to a person, right, you have eye contact. Now here, obviously, there's no eye contact, but the point is you face them, right? It's not, you wouldn't be talking to someone with your, you know, facing the other direction. Tanya Idach, another drasha. Ko tevarchu b'kol ram. Okay, you're supposed to do it out loud. O eno ela belachash. Right, maybe you could whisper. Tamud lamar, another drasha, and emor lahem. Emor lahem. Adam ha'omer l'chavero. When people speak to each other, not only do you face each other, you also say it out loud. So therefore, we learn it has to be out loud.
Today, don't they face the Aron Kodesh?
No, they face the people. Because they turn back around after.
They make the bracha in that direction.
Right, and then they turn around, yes. Right, so you don't look, you don't know. Okay. Amar Abaye. Naktinan lishnaim kore kohanim ulechad eno kore kohen. Okay, you ever notice the difference between if there's two Kohanim, or there's one Kohen, if there's only one Kohen, then they don't call out Kohanim, right? He just starts at the bracha by himself. So here they're saying, two people are called Kohanim, but one is not called a Kohen. Shenemar, emor lahem, lishnayim. Okay, they say emor lahem. Now here it sounds like it's lahem is talking about the, the Kohanim. But here there's a few different interpretations of this. Right, so the shliach tzibur, right, the idea is that Amor Lahem is talking about not that they say, it's that the shliach tzibur says to them. Okay, and the shliach tzibur, according to this, by the way, the basic interpretation of this is that the shliach tzibur calls out the word kohanim, which we don't do now, right? Usually someone, right, it's often the gabbai or somebody calls out kohanim. Okay, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to all these details, but somebody calls Kohanim, it's not the Chazan, because some people say it's a hefsek in his tefillah. Other people say, no, it's not a hefsek in his tefillah, it's actually part of the tefillah, he's supposed to say it. So there's a whole debate about it, but it's emor lahem, they only get called out when there's two. You don't say Kohanim if there's only one because of this emor lahem. Okay, emor lahem means that someone from the people has to say to the Kohanim, go, right, start, okay? Now, that's a bayi. Rav Chista has a different interpretation. We'll see, we don't pass him like him. V'am Rav Chista, naktinan kohen kore kohanim, ve'en Yisrael kore kohanim. Okay, one interpretation is this, is that it's not the Chazan who calls kohen, it's a kohen who calls kohanim. In other words, it's a kohen himself who says kohanim. Okay, and not Yisrael, sh'ne'amar, emor lahem, amira mishel lahem. Okay, that the person calling has to be one of them. Okay, and he claims that the person calling out the Kohanim has to be a Kohen. Okay, some people say that this means only if the Chazan is a Kohen, then he calls Kohanim. But if the Chazan is a Yisrael, then he doesn't call Kohanim. There's a few different interpretations of how this reads. V'hilchata kavatei d'abaye. Okay, halacha is like abaye. V'leit hilchata kirav chista. Okay, the halacha doesn't follow Rav Chista. There was another interesting thing about Rav Chista. Rav Chista appears in an opposite opinion he has a different way of darshaning this in the Yerushalmi, and we do paskin that way. And he dafka says, Rav Chista appears in the Yerushalmi as saying that dafka the Yisrael has to call up the Kohanim. Okay, it's a mitzvah, and it comes from Emor Lahem. And based on this, you know, we paskin basically that usually it's a Yisrael who calls the Kohanim, it's not a Kohen himself. Okay. So we've learned a bunch of things, okay? I'll try to review. I don't know if I'm going to get all of them, but it's Lashon HaKodesh, it's Ba'amidah, right? You have to stand up. It's lifting your arms, right? Again, in the Mikdash, above your head, in the Mikdash, straight ahead, shoulder height. It's Shema Mifarash, right? In the Beit HaMikdash and not outside. It was Panim Mul Panim, you have to face. It was out loud. Okay, it's depending on how you read it, but that one Kohen doesn't get called. If it's only one Kohen, if it's multiple Kohanim, they get called, you know, they call them out Kohanim from Amor Lahem. It includes women and Gerim and Avadim Shukharim because Amor Lahem. Okay, it's just a bit of a summary of all the different opinions that we saw. There's actually There's a machloket Rashi and Tosfot about whether, this I just thought was interesting, about whether Rashi says it's the Chazan who calls out the Kohanim, and Tosfot says it's someone from the Tzibur. And it's based on whether you think it's a hefsek or not. Rabbeinu Tam claims that Chazan means Chazan HaKnesset, not Chazan. Yeah, we use Chazan as the Shliach Tzibur. But it's not necessarily that. The Chazan, we've seen in places in Ta'anit, it comes up that the Chazan was like a shamash, like a person of the Tzibur, almost like a gabbai. And it could be that that was, when Rashi says Chazan, maybe he meant like a gabbai and not the Shlech Tzibur. So that's also just like an interesting thing in terms of word usage, right, and different meanings in different generations and how it could be interpreted differently. Okay, more stuff on Berkat Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Minayin shekadosh baruch hu mit'aveh leberkat kohanim. How do you know that God is like waiting, okay? Loves to hear the Berkat Kohanim. Shenemar, v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, so from there we get that, right, they were going to put my name on B'nai Yisrael, V'ani Avarchem, so therefore he's waiting for it because he wants to give them the bracha.
You skipped the seven parentheses, right?
Yeah, the seven parentheses is just a siman for the next sections that are going to come up. The first is Mitaveh LeBracha, the Duchan, Ba'avodah, okay, all these different rimazim, okay, this is like an added thing that probably someone added along the way of a mnemonic to remember what's coming up. They're not. It's not part of the sugya, really. And in this case, it's in parentheses, which means all the more so. It's like someone added into the, it doesn't really belong here. Okay, but Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Kohen Shemivarech, Mitbarech. Here you have this, remember the Va'ani Avarchem, right? Who's going to be blessed? So here they say, if a Kohen blesses, he will be blessed. V'she'enu Mivarech, and if he doesn't go up to bless the people, Ein Mitbarech, he doesn't get the blessing. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, Panim mul panim, before we get, I'm just, all of a sudden remembered something. Panim mul panim, another very important halacha, okay, this is really important. Okay, I'll give an example, and my shul is critical because of the way the setup is, that you have to be, in order to get the bracha, it has to be panim mul panim. If you're outside the room or on the side, then there's an issue there that the bracha doesn't get you because it has to be panim mul panim. So anyone who's outside, right, so in the shul I daven in, right, there's that hallway space where some people, the overflow, end up staying. It's an issue there. During Berkat Kohanim, the people should really come inside to be in the room, because if you're either behind the Kohanim or like not facing them in any way, then according to this, the bracha is not getting to you. It's not an issue of hearing it. The issue of being in the, you know, in the
same space.
Right, the same space. So there's an issue there. There's a halachic issue about that.
There was another halachic note that was in here, is that if there is one Kohen in the room, he doesn't necessarily have to come up.
Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me of that. There's a, right, Rezal's pointing out there's a halacha that you don't have to, because, okay, so there was another way of reading this. Fine. One way of reading this other source, now you're reminding me.
No call.
Kohen kore kohanim ve'en, L'shnayim kore kohanim v'le'achad eino kore kohanim. So we read kore is called up, but kore could also be called. One kohen is not called kohanim. And one kohen, therefore, doesn't even need to do berkat kohanim if he's the only kohen. Whereas you know, the only, right, there's a mechayev of berkat kohanim if there's two kohanim in the room. We're going to see in a minute, like if you don't do berkat kohanim, you're actually over on, you're in trouble, basically, if you don't do it. But according to this, it would only, if you read it that way, that one kohen isn't called kohanim, and therefore he's not even chayav in berkat kohanim. Okay? So therefore, that's a different interpretation of it, that it has to be, right, kotze barchu, it's all in plural. Only if you're plural, only if you're more than one. Okay? Right? It always feels a little awkward when there's only one kohen, right? It's like strange.
He
can't be in everyone's, except again, it depends where, how you view it. Obviously, they're not seeing everybody anyway because they're under their talit, but, right, there's a, yeah. But why does it feel awkward when there's one kohen? Because it's something tziburi. It's something with, you know, a lot. It's supposed to be, there's a group of people blessing a bigger group of people, right? When there's just one, it's not a group. It's not even, so there's a halacha there that it's not, you're not mechuyav to do it if it's only one.
But it happens all the time, like in the daily minyan.
It definitely happens, yeah. It's very common that it happens where there's only one kohen. But it always feels a little nevach, right? Like, okay. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Minayin shekadosh baruch hu. So we said, how does we know that he's looking forward? Because v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. So then we saw Kol Kohen, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Any kohen who's mivarech mitbarech, v'she'enu mivarech ein mitbarech. How do we learn this? Shneemar va'avarcha mivarechecha. Right? This is by Avraham. Remember this? Those who bless you will be blessed, right? U'mekalalecha arur. So they learn from here also the berkat kohanim. This is more, okay, this isn't learned out from berkat kohanim per se. This is just the concept of, if you look out for others, other people will look out for you, right? It's that concept. So if you're a kohen who goes and blesses people, well then Hashem will make sure you get blessed. That's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. The Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, kol kohen, I said we're going to get to this right now, she'eino ole leduchan, if you don't go up to the duchan, you don't go up to do berkat kohanim, over b'shlosha aseh. Okay, three mitzvot aseh. Number one, kotiv archu. You weren't, right, you didn't do the mitzvot aseh of kotiv archu. Emor lahem, you were supposed to say to them, and b'samuet shmi. Okay, so you haven't done three mitzvot aseh. By the way, the Mefarshim explained here that it's not really technically three mitzvot aseh, it's as if, right? It's, in other words, it's only one mitzvah, obviously. When they counted in the mitzvah, this counted as one mitzvah, even though there's three commands. But what they're pointing out, since there's three commands to do it and you don't do it, it's as if, okay? There's all these sugyot that give importance to certain things, like this Talmud Torah keneged kulam, or right, they try to measure mitzvot. So they're saying this mitzvah is a weighty one if you don't do it, because it's got three commands to the kohanim to do it. Rav Amar, Rav says, no, there's a separate issue. It's not the issue that you're going to be over on three mitzvot aseh by not doing it. It's choshishin shema ben grusha o ben chalutzahu. We're worried if you don't go up, the people are going to start saying, oh, look, there's a kohen in the room and he's not going. Something must be up with his family. Must be that he's a pasul kohen. He's halal because his mother was a divorcee and married a kohen or something like that. What?
Or perhaps he did.
Perhaps he did. No, it's the son.
I know it doesn't
if he did, he's not pasul. It's his children. Remember who mitchalel, right? Zar'o mitchalel, mm-hmm. And not who. It's a whole crazy thing about this kohen who marries. It's his children who become pasul. V'lo pligi. Now the Gemara points out these two opinions don't argue with each other. Ha de selik leprakim, ha de lo selik leprakim. Okay. If you're a kohen who sometimes goes up and sometimes doesn't, well then obviously we're not going to worry that maybe he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, because, well, it's true, today he's not doing it, but he did it another day. Then he's just going to, people are going to say, oh, he's lazy, right? But then he's over on the mitzvot aseh. But if he never goes up, then we have to worry additionally, besides the three mitzvot aseh that he's over on, we also have to worry additionally that people will start calling him a ben grusha ben chalutza. V'amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, kol kohen she'eno ole ba'avodah, this is another interesting halacha, shuv eino ole. You have to start, okay, now here according to this, you have to go up to the duchan during the brachat avodah, which is the bracha of ritzeh. If you notice that, that's when the kohanim start going, right? This is going to explain all sorts of interesting things that you always see, but never really, either never pay attention so much, or really have no idea where it comes from. So they have to go up to the duchan while they're saying the brachat avodah. Okay, we're going to see why soon. Shenemar vayisa Aharon et yadav al ha'am vayivarchem. Remember our pasuk we saw in the beginning about Aharon and the Mei Amiluim. Vayered me'asot achatat va'olav ha'shlamim. It specifically tells us within that same pasuk that this was as he was finishing up the avoda, right? In other words, it's connected with the avoda. So ma lahalam ba'avodah, just like he did the bracha in the Mei Amiluim, connected with the korbanot, afkan ba'avodah. We also have to do it connected with the korbanot, and we go up there, the kohanim start going up, when they're in the brachat avodah, which is the bracha that talks about the korbanot that they did in the Beit HaMikdash. So now they say, Ini, is that really true? Because what did, now go back to the way he said it. If you didn't go up avodah, then you can't go up. You've like lost your chance, okay? You can't come up exactly when you're supposed to do, right? After, remember, there's avodah, then there's hoda'ah, Modim, and after Modim, that's when they do it, before Sim Shalom. So then they say, well, is that really true? Vaha Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi Salke. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi went up after Avodah. There was a case, obviously, where they did it. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi meikara hava akre kra'ayhu. Mimata lo havu matuha. It's not that you have to actually get there, but you have to leave your spot and start walking. So Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Asi didn't make it there in time, okay? Maybe they were in a big shul or something, or for whatever reason, or they were walking slowly. They didn't make it in time, but you have to at least move your feet and start walking. So when Navoda starts, you have to start moving your way there. If you didn't make it in time, it's okay. Ukidetani Rabbi Yoshaya, and like Rabbi Yoshaya taught, Lo shanu ela shelo akarat raglav, aval akarat raglav ole. As long as you lifted up your foot, okay? Even if, right, you just have one foot lifted, or maybe both feet, it says akarat raglav, okay? Then it's okay. You could still go. Utna nami, and here's another Mishnah that supports this. Is it a, yeah. Im, I'm not sure if this is a Mishnah. Usually, it does? Okay. Im havtachato shenoseet kapav bechozer letfilato rashai. If, okay, now here it's talking about a chazan. Here's an issue. What if a chazan, another interesting one, what if the chazan is a kohen? What does he do? So they say, if he can promise, okay, in other words, he can commit to the fact that he can be noseh kapav and then chozer l'tfilato and he won't be distracted and mess him up, where was I up to, then rashai. Okay, nowadays we don't do it. If a chazan is a kohen, he doesn't. Ole l'duchan, okay, except for, what?
No, he doesn't ole l'duchan.
He stays where he is.
Yeah, he faces the kohanim. He does not turn around.
Some do and some don't.
So first of all, I think there's different minhagim about this, but generally, if he's the only kohen, then he does it.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only kohen. You've seen him do it even if not?
Oh, for
okay.
Sure.
That they do the Berakah Kohanim while they're...
But they stay on the... Uh-huh.
But they stay where they are. And yeah. You said you've seen people turn around?
He turns around to the Kohan.
Uh-huh, interesting. So there's different minhagim about
it. On behind.
Yeah, there are.
So they'll get the Kohanim.
Yes.
Right, it's a good question. Okay, so if he can go back to his Tefillah Rashai...
Before he starts, he washes his hands before he...
Right, he washes his hands before he does it.
In the sense that... The whole structure of the tefillah as we know it today was created. It has nothing to do with the actual Torah. I mean, they're looking for hints in the Torah as to how to apply it for...
Right.
But for seven days.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah. Well, here they're not looking for hints in the Torah. This isn't...
I know, right now...
Right. Ah, no, that's true. You're right about the Avodah. Right, but what they're saying from there is that they're saying that it's intricately connected to Avodah in the Torah. And therefore, when we have our tefillah and there's avodah in our tefillah, we want to structure it within the context of the avodah. The problem is that the content of the bracha matches much more sim shalom. It's about bringing shalom to the people, and therefore it ends up in the bracha of sim shalom. But and the avodah is two brachot before, so therefore, what do they say? Go up avodah so that it links it, right? It has that link that the Torah has about it. It's more how did they structure the tefillah? And they structure it based on psukim, which that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so now, what do they say? Vehevina ba, so far we haven't, right, remember, this whole thing about whether he can daven, that's a side thing, but why are we bringing it? Because we want to see that even if akarat raglav, right, it's enough, that he can then go up avodah. So now, what's the issue? Vehevina ba, halo akar. This Kohen who's doing Berakah Kohanim, he obviously doesn't move his feet, he does Berakah Kohanim from where he's standing. And he certainly didn't move in Berakah Avodah because he was in the middle of the Amidah. Ela dinab porta. He moved a drop to kind of make it look like he wanted to go up avodah, and that was obviously sufficient. So therefore, we see that even if you didn't make it to the duchan, obviously you can still do it as long as you try to move further. Hachanami. So therefore, here also we could say to akar porta that if you moved a little bit. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now we're getting a little sidetracked. Ein notnim kosha bracha levarech. Now we're talking about the concept of blessing other people. So you don't give a kosher bracha levarech ela l'tov ayin, to someone who's not miserly, basically, not stingy. Shneamar tov ayin hu yivorach, ki nitami lachmo ladal. Okay, the pasuk says, someone, this is from Mishle, you can tell by the type of pasuk, someone who's tov ayin, he will be blessed, because he gave from his bread to the poor. Al tikre yivorach, he will be blessed, ela yivarech. Okay, they make a drash on that. So he should be the one to bless. Now we're getting into all these sorts of people who are stingy with their money, and even the birds can tell. Okay, in other words, if you put out this trap and even the birds don't eat from it, okay? In other words, if you put out this food and the birds know not to eat from the food of the people who are stingy, and they're not going to fall into your trap. It's basically, right, obviously the birds don't have intelligence to know that. It's saying God makes it so that you're not going to succeed. But Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, kol ha'ne'ene mitzarei ha'ayin over belav. Anyone who benefits from someone who's stingy is over belav, because it says, al tilcham et lechem ra'ayin, don't eat the bread. Okay, you're not allowed to eat bread from someone who's stingy. Okay, the rest of the pasuk is va'al titavu lamata motav. Okay, don't try to take his stuff. Ki kemo shar b'nafsho, kein hu echol ushte yomar lecha. Because why? He will tell you, go eat and drink, v'libo balimach, but he doesn't really mean it. Okay, now it's someone who offers you food, but he doesn't really mean it. You're basically, it's like you're stealing from him, because in his heart, he doesn't want to give it to you, even though he says. So therefore, it says, anyone who gets hana from him is basically over on the lab of Gezel. You're basically stealing, because this person's pretending to give you, but he doesn't really want to give you. It's a very interesting, right? It's like flip, because the guy says, go take, but if he really doesn't want you to, you can tell, right? You can tell when someone's seriously offering you something and not seriously offering you something. So they're saying, pay attention and try not to take from people who don't really want to give you, because it's almost like stealing. Okay? Kikimo shar b'nafsho, kenu echol shtei. Okay? So there's different ways they say, they explain shar. I'm not going to get into it, but either it's, what is it? He's sho'er b'nafsho, like he's measuring. In other words, he's measuring out what he's really willing to give you and what he's not. Okay, Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Amar Over B'Shnei Lavim. It's more because it's Al Tilcham, don't eat, but Al Tidave, don't desire. Okay, last statement. We'll end with this. Amar Bisho Ben Levi Ein Egla Arufa Ba Ela B'Shvil Tzarei Ayin. The whole Egla Arufa, right, where there's a dead body and nobody knows who it is, it comes from people who are Tzarei Ayin. Right? Why is what's the connection? Because the assumption is this person died outside the city because no one in the city brought him in. People didn't, right? Weren't. Machnis Orchim and Shneamar Vanu Vamru Yadenu Lo Shapchat Adam Azeh. V'chi Alibenu. The Kenim say we didn't kill this person. V'chi Alibenu Al Tasha Zekne Beidin Shofchei Damim Heim. And as what does it mean? We didn't kill him. What, you think this Kenim would kill him? Ella Lo Bali Yadenu Uptarunuhu V'Lo Reinuhu V'Hinichnuhu V'Hinchinuhu. In other words, Lo Bali Yadenu Uptarunuhu V'Lo Mezonot Lo Reinuhu. In other words, we didn't see him, and therefore, right, we didn't give him food, we didn't notice to do all those things. Okay, let's stop here. Tomorrow we'll start with, what if you have a shul that's all Kohanim? Then what do you do? Ever have that, a minyan where there's only Kohanim?